welcome to River of Ideas, the podcast about greener cities and cleaner water. I'm Nick Bussey, the Communications and Operations Manager here at the Mississippi Watershed Management Organization, also known as the MWMO.
And I'm Abby Moore. I'm the Outreach Program Manager here at the MWMO.
This is podcast number 3, and we're going to shift gears a little bit and try to have some fun. It's spring, so everybody's eager to get out. And so we're going to talk about our favorite things to do, places to see, and places to explore along the Mississippi River. So we're going to talk about biking, hiking, paddling, what else?
Nature immersion, going to dog parks, favorite places, lots of really great stuff along the river.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about it. We have here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, generally some of the highest rated parks in the country. And there's all kinds of great parks. But I was thinking about what keeps me coming back to the river. And I think it's a sense of like wildness. Like when you go to the Mississippi River Gorge or to Hidden Falls Park or Crosby Farm Park, it's a little bit different every time because the river is constantly changing. Rivers are dynamic systems. And so every time you go down, there's kind of something a little different. There's different plants, you know, there's different animals. Right now, we're in the middle of the spring migration. The Mississippi River is, of course, a national flyway. So there's all kinds of birds migrating along the river right now. And so I'm excited to talk about the river and all of the things that we love to do there. Before we get started, I do want to cover a couple quick things. So we're coming up on Mother's Day weekend. So do something nice for your mother. Or on the off chance this podcast gets posted next week, you should have done something nice for your mother over the weekend. The reason I'm bringing up Mother's Day is that Mother's Day is when all of the good plant sales happen here in the metro area. And so go to our website, mwmo.org/news. We've got a blog post that has a list of some great sales where you can go get some native plants. A couple of years ago, planted a rain garden in my backyard, and I timed it so that I could go to the Hennepin County Master Gardener plant sale with a plant list and a number of plants that I needed. And I just loaded up a cart and I got all the plants I needed for my rain garden.
Wow.
Just all in one shot. And, you know, and they were on sale. So it's a great time to plant a pollinator garden or a rain garden. Also, if you listen to the last episode with Jennifer Ellert from Metro Blooms, she talked about how when the dandelions start blooming, that is usually a sign that the soil temperatures are warm enough that you can start doing your planting and doing your kind of spring gardening cleanup. And so also on our website at mwmo.org, you can find a blog post and a how-to video on native plant maintenance that we highly recommend. What's your spring yard care regime?
Well, I actually did a bunch this weekend because it was warm, and I'm actually glad to know. I like that signal of the dandelions. I've never heard that before, but there were lots of dandelions in my yard. And I tend to leave those, especially in the early season, because they're great early food sources for pollinators. But that's just a good signal. So I like that because I'm always trying to guess. So we always say once it's been in the 50s for more than a few days in a row, like overnight temperatures, usually that's the right time to start doing work. But I don't always pay attention. So this weekend I was thinking like, has it been warm enough? But the dandelions were out. So I guess so. Anyway, I usually do some kind of cleanup and tidying after the winter, and I did plant a tree this weekend.
And nice. What kind?
It's a plum tree, and I wish I could remember the exact variety, but I had a crabapple tree that was really beautiful and just a really nice feature in my front yard for a long time, and it got really old and diseased, and so I cut it down a couple of years ago. So I'm excited to replace it with another fruit tree that'll have good blossoms and hopefully fruit that we can enjoy. And if we don't enjoy it, there's plenty of birds and probably squirrels and other things who can enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, that was actually another, I thought that was a great tip from Jen where she talked about, you know, kind of, because I asked her like, what's the easiest thing somebody can do to add some pollinator habitat to your yard? And she said, plant a flowering tree.
Oh, nice.
As they blossom, you know, early in the spring when there's not a lot of habitat food source for pollinators.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's brilliant. Like I should definitely do that. And that actually brings us to the final thing I was going to mention, which is we are now in No-Mow May, also known as Low-Mow May. Where do you stand on the No-Mow versus Low-Mow controversy slash brand debate?
Yeah, I guess I I'm not sure I know exactly how LOMO is defined.
I think the issue was that people were taking NOMO May too literally. And they were taking it almost as like a challenge of like, let's see how long I can go without mowing my yard. And so the whole idea with NOMO May / LOMO May is you want to leave some of those flowering weeds like dandelions and Creeping Charlie and all those other flowering weeds that pop up in your yard this time of year, leave them a little bit, you know, as long as you can within reason.
Yeah.
As a kind of early season habitat source for pollinators. Obviously, if you let your lawn grow too long, you know, some people were letting their lawns grow like 12 inches long, then you're going to have a problem when you go to cut it. And then the other thing is there's also, you know, no need to let the dandelions spread. So like when they go to seed, you can just pull them.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep an eye on your yard this time of year. And, you know, you might see some bees and butterflies and other pollinators taking advantage of those flowering weeds, even though some people don't like them. There's a park near my house that is covered in dandelions. And it's actually kind of...
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about because I often notice it. And I actually notice along West River Parkway in this time of year, I guess, the next few weeks, it's often like the whole median is blanketed in dandelions, and it is pretty.
It is really pretty. And then when they go to seed, it's not so
pretty. Yeah.
But, you know, I think we can just take a minute to appreciate.
Definitely. Well, it's nice to have some color after the winter.
No.
So bleak.
Like any color.
I feel like
dandelions and like the flowering trees along like Minnehaha Parkway and other places. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. With all that out of the way, let's talk a little bit about the river. Should we start with biking?
Yeah.
Because you and I are both bikers, cyclists, that is.
Yep.
And we have the privilege of basically having the same bike route to work. We get to ride West River Parkway, like 80% of the way here.
Yeah.
And it's great because, it, you know, you bike along the river gorge, beautiful views, especially this time of year when the leaves aren't all on the trees and you can still see through to the river in the early morning, the sun's peeking through there. And it's all off the street. So it's a dedicated bike trail. So it's relatively safe. So I think, you know, people with different levels of comfort of riding on the road, they can be confident, you know, riding on some of these trails that go along the river.
Yeah. 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 And it's nice to be able to create, like, if you want to just get out for exercise and you want to do 12 miles, 5 miles, whatever it is that you're wanting to do, there's so many bridges and places to cross and make loops. So you, I don't know, it's just, it's neat, and it's neat to get to know the trail. I mean, it goes quite a long way through the majority of our, at least the Minneapolis section of our watershed. And then way down to the south, downriver, also up north, past North Mississippi Regional Park. So there's really like a lot of places to explore and distances of all different lengths that you can get in. So you can spend 20 minutes or 3 hours biking on the river.
Well, yeah. And so there's the larger Mississippi River Trail, which I think is something like 800 miles, according to MnDOT or something. I mean, so there is a trail, and there are, you know, there are kind of gaps here and there, but it goes all the way from Lake Itasca down to the Iowa border.
Okay. I didn't realize that it was that long. That's cool.
Yeah. I have never been south of like 494 on sort of on the like South St. Paul side.
Yep.
But the thing that's great about the bike trails that go along the river here is they're sort of like highways almost for bikes. Like it's just very easy, smooth sailing. And then they connect to all these really great regional trail systems. Yeah. Like last summer, I took a ride up West River Parkway from Minnehaha Falls area all the way to the Coon Rapids Dam, which is like a really cool thing to visit. And then from there, you can get on the Rush Creek Regional Trail, which is also a really fun trail. And I want to say it's relatively new. Don't quote me on that, but it was like in great condition, very like fun, flowy, kind of winds through the woods. And then that connects to Elm Creek and Medicine Lake Trail. And I think it even connects to Shingle Creek Trail. So there's all these really cool regional trails that you get to from the river. So the river is like a good starting point for as long as you want to go for a bike ride.
Totally. I've ridden like the Midtown Greenway. You can get out to the Cedar Lake Trail and out towards Lake Minnetonka, actually to Lake Minnetonka, around Lake Minnetonka. there are tons and tons of bike trails. And actually this weekend I was actually rode way east into St. Paul and Maplewood and Woodbury, and then hit the river near Battle Creek Park in St. Paul, and then rode south and across that 494 bridge. And it's cool, you know, especially because on a bike you can cover quite a bit of distance, to be able to see. I as a watershed nerd, really enjoy just kind of observing and thinking about the way the river and the riverfront kind of changes, even just in the Twin Cities area. And so, you know, right here where we are at MWMO, we've got this relatively industrial but kind of changing over riverfront. Just south of here, downstream of downtown, we've got the River Gorge and the wilderness feel. And then once you get out of the gorge and go through downtown St. Paul, then it's more sort of industrial again. There's barges, but the river's much wider. Mm. And it just has like all these different kind of characters. So it's neat in one ride to be able to ride through all these different areas and see the river in different ways.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that makes me think too, people sometimes kind of underestimate or overlook some of the trails north of St. Anthony Falls, because it is a little bit more industrial, like here in like north and northeast Minneapolis. But there is actually some really great trails up here too. And like one of, I think, like, I don't know if this is the right term, hidden gem, but North Mississippi Regional Park is beautiful. Every time I go there, I see wildlife, you know, deer or some, you know, really cool birds. Mm-hmm. We had an event there with Dudley Edmondson last year, or was it, maybe it was 2 years ago, but there was a great horned owl out there, you know, with this whole group of people that was there to check out the park. And so you can have really great experiences. And like I said, you can ride all the way to the Coon Rapids Dam, which I would definitely recommend. And then also Fridley, I think, has like some underrated parks.
Yeah.
There's Riverfront Regional Park, and then Islands of Peace Park.
Yeah.
And those are great parks that, you know, you can bike to and then just kind of, you know, lock up your bike somewhere and go for a little walk. They're very quiet, calm, meditative type parks. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, like south of the falls, you've got the Mississippi River Gorge and Hidden Falls and Shadow Falls. And there's a whole kind of network of great parks that just follows the river in between Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's worth exploring some of those other places that you haven't been to.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you and I both live close to the gorge. And so, like the hiking down in there, it's not very easy to get a bike down there. And the trails are rugged, but it's a really great place to hike. And so exploring the gorge on these trails is such a like cool experience in the middle of the city. Like, I'm always amazed. Do you just drop down one of these staircases or paths, and you are in this like wooded, it honestly feels like wilderness in the middle of the city. Tons of wildlife, and it's really quiet, relatively.
Yeah, totally. So that's a nice segue into talking about hiking. And so my favorite hiking trail, which is part of what you were just talking about, is the Winchell Trail.
Mm-hmm.
The Winchell Trail, oh, geez, I forget how long it's. I want to say it's like 8 miles long in total, but it's very interesting. And there are parts of it that are paved, which is nice because it's accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's cool about the Winchell Trail is there's a lot of variety. You go through a couple of different types of areas, and you really can kind of get lost in a good way. Going off of some of those little side trails.
Yeah.
And I was down there this weekend, actually. So there's the big staircase.
Yep.
By the river flats in the floodplain area there by, what is that, 33rd or?
It's like between 33rd and 34th Street.
Yeah. So like if you go to Google Maps and just, you know, do search for Mississippi River Gorge Park, you'll find it. But I was down in there and hadn't been down there yet this year, and there was all kinds of cool stuff blooming, spring ephemerals.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great video on our YouTube channel about spring ephemerals. We went down there a couple of years ago. I think it was during the pandemic when we couldn't do anything else, so we were making all these videos. And so we went down in the River Gorge with Carolyn Carr, who's a scientist and a volunteer who's been helping with restoring the gorge with Friends of the Mississippi River for years and years and years. And so we made a really cool video about all of these unique flowers that only bloom for a few weeks every year. And they're blooming right now in the River Gorge. So I was down there yesterday and there were violets and wild geranium and tons of Virginia bluebells.
Cool.
And you know what? If you don't know much about plants, that's okay. Go out and take a look. And,
yeah.
I recommend an app called iNaturalist. There's iNaturalist, and then there's even a second, like a lighter weight app called Seek. You know this one?
I've maybe heard of it, but I've never used that one. I've only used iNaturalist.
I like using that one because it's focused more on identification. And so for me, somebody who doesn't know a ton about plants other than what I've learned from my coworkers.
Yeah.
It's fun to go down there, and if you see something interesting, you can just take out the app, and it does a pretty good job of identifying them. It's kind of amazing, you know, these like tools they have now.
Yeah. So on that note, just I'd seen this before, but I'd never used it till this last weekend. I have an iPhone, and when I I'm starting to use just the camera app as an identification help. So I didn't. It's just like connect. It must connect you with a database, like maybe iNaturalist or something. But you can take a photo, and then when you go to the actual photo, there's a little icon in the middle on the bottom. That's I think it's actually, well, it might just be like an eye for information, and you click on it, and if it knows what it is, it'll bring it up, and it brings up links so that you can connect to websites with info about that plant. So. Right. I was actually doing some stuff in my yard this weekend and like, what is this?
What kind of weed is this?
Exactly. And there's some shrubs that were planted by the previous homeowner, and I've lived in my house for 10 years and I've never known what they were. So I just got really excited about using this thing this weekend because I didn't even need another app. I just was using the camera.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was neat. I think there were only like one or two things that it didn't identify for me, and that may have been my photography more than its lack of ability to find a source or whatever. But anyway,
right.
So
yeah, no, it's a nice tool to use in your yard for identifying weeds, or you know, like when you plant a rain garden, and you know, the second year when stuff starts coming up, you don't always know what's what.
Right.
So it's a really nice tool for that. But the other thing that's cool about those apps, like iNaturalist, is for me, I feel like it helps deepen my appreciation of things. Like when I go down to the River Gorge and I just start, you know, when I scan a interesting looking plant to see what it is, interesting looking flower or whatever, I just feel like the more you learn about the natural world, like the more you appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then it's fun. You go down there with your friends and you can impress them by saying that's, you know, wild geranium.
Totally.
What?
Well, it's like anything. Like once you learn about something, you see it.
Yeah.
And so my son's getting really into photography, and he was making a comment the other day about like, I just see so much more than I used to, just because now I'm like looking at things to take photos. And I feel like the same with like knowing your plants and animals and even just familiar places. Once you know them, you start to notice things, and you notice when things change. And so again, with our dynamic river, when you become familiar with it and you see it in lots of different ways and seasons and all that kind of stuff, you can really notice some of those changes, which I think also kind of deepens our connection with it, just because we recognize it as a dynamic system.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that happened to my wife and I during the pandemic. You know, there was sort of nothing to do other than go for like long walks in nature. And so we started going for long walks along Minnehaha Creek and through the River Gorge. And I honestly, until that happened, did not appreciate how much wildlife there is and like the diversity of wildlife. And we live very close to a section of Minnehaha Creek, and we started going on these walks, and I started seeing otters. I had no idea there were otters like in our neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right? Really cool.
And then beavers and mink. I didn't know there were mink.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these sort of migratory birds too. And that was when I bought a bigger camera lens so I could try and take pictures of these birds.
Right.
That time was not a fun time, but I do remember that part of it fondly, of just like connecting with nature in an even deeper way than I had before. And so you can have those experiences along the river because it is such a wild place, and it is such it's such good wildlife habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of all the things I've seen down there. Every variety of raptor, you know, eagles, red-tailed hawks. I've also seen barred owls.
Pileated woodpeckers.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them.
Yep.
along with all the really cool, you know, yellow rump warblers and, and what you were saying about, you know, there are, you start to learn after a while, there are these particular places where you see certain things.
Yep.
And one thing that I always see when I'm biking by Crosby Farm Park, there's this one patch of woods and it's right on the edge of the bike trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I always look to see indigo buntings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's right off of the trail. So it's that Sam Morgan regional trail. It's the one that runs along Shepherd Grove.
Oh, okay.
And when you go to that one underpass under the highway there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, watch for indigo buntings right there. And indigo buntings, I should say, are, they're a really, really cool looking, almost like iridescent, bright blue bird.
Yeah.
They look like a kind of finch.
I'm not sure I've ever seen one. I can recognize them from a bird book, but I'm not sure I've ever seen one in the wild. I will definitely pay attention.
Yeah, I could point you out on the map where I see them.
Okay.
It's really cool. I mean, I don't see them every time, but
right.
I see them enough that I know, like, oh yeah, I should watch out for them at this spot.
That's so cool.
But we were talking about hiking. So Winchell Trail is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I recommend that people look that up. I should say, bring appropriate footwear. That one, once you get off the paved part of it, you kind of know, you never know what you're going to get into, like if it rained the night before or something. The other thing to be careful with the Winchell Trail is there's like a main trail, but it's very easy to get sidetracked and go on some of these side trails. And it's a lot of fun to explore, but every once in a while you find yourself in a situation where you kind of go up a hill a little bit and then you're like, uh-oh, what do I do now? You know, it's like, so, and
it can be really steep if you end up kind of on one of the hillsides that's going up to the main paved trail.
But that's also what makes it fun.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I have a funny memory of like thinking about the way the river changes and stuff, being down there and being down on the Winchell Trail in the winter must have been maybe in the early spring one year because there was water. But I was hiking along a trail with my dog and a friend that I did all the time. And we got to a place where the trail was completely flooded. And kind of everywhere we looked, everything in front of us was flooded. Like there was not really any way to get to where we were planning to go to take the stairs back up. And so I don't know why we decided not to reverse and just go back where we came, but we decided to just go straight up the hillside up to the top of the where the paved trail is. And so two adults and a dog going basically straight up. It was not totally death defying, but kind of close. Yeah. It was a scramble. We were like holding onto trees to pull ourselves up and stuff. But yeah, it was a good adventure.
But yeah, I mean, that is what's cool about the River Gorge in particular, I think, is that I feel like there's not a lot of places in the city that you can have that experience.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of great parks and the different parks are great for different things. But in terms of like having the experience of like going kind of outside the metro area, you know, like, so like I love going to the Superior Hiking Trail and some of those state parks up along the North Shore and, you know, because there's so much variety and it just feels like such a natural wild place. And I do feel like there are parts of the River Gorge in particular where you kind of get that feeling of, you know, just being alone in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing some research for a blog post and I was reading all this research about tree bathing or forest bathing. Japanese concept of forest bathing.
Yeah.
There is all this peer-reviewed research talking about the benefits of it, like it lowers your blood pressure, lowers your cortisol levels.
Yep.
I mean, it's basically like natural stress relief.
Right.
You know, and you can just go out for a walk in nature and you can definitely have that experience in the River Gorge.
For sure. Well, and it's important, I think, for all of those of us who live here and can easily experience the River Gorge to know it's the only gorge along the entire length of the Mississippi River.
That's true.
And it is created by the only waterfall on the whole Mississippi River, which is St. Anthony Falls, which now has dams. So you don't get to see what the natural waterfall looks like. But but that gorge is a really unique feature. And so the fact that it's just right here and we can enjoy it is really cool and people should check it out.
Well, yeah. And I think, and I meant to mention this in the introduction, but I think people forget that we're in a national park.
Right.
The Mississippi National River and Recreation Area is a 72-mile park. It runs from basically a little bit north of Anoka to, I think, a little bit south of Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Coldwater Spring, which is sort of the only part that's actually owned by the National Park Service,
right,
which is also a really cool place that you should check out along the river, kind of in between Minnehaha Park and Fort Snelling. But the entire riverfront, including our property here at the MWMO, is technically part of this national park. And so I just feel like a lot of people don't know that there's a national park here.
Right.
And we talk about this all the time, but I think when you live in the city, the river is sort of easily ignored, because for a lot of people, it's just something you pass over on a bridge in your car on the way to work.
Yep.
And you never, like a lot of people would never think to visit some of these amazing parks and have these experiences. And that's why we're doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your other favorite parks along the river to go hiking specifically?
Yeah. I don't know if is the Winchell Trail only on the west side of the river, or does it go onto the east side?
I believe it's technically only on the west side, because there is like a trail, like it's an official trail. There's a trail marker on the south end of it.
Yeah.
But obviously there are trails that go along the east bank too.
Right. So that's what I was just going to say. There's a trail that goes from East River Flats Park, right by the U of M. There's actually kind of like a metal catwalky thing that goes, that is part of the trail. And then it connects just by the underneath the Franklin Bridge. Mm. And so then from the Franklin Bridge to, there's kind of like a steep road right by the train trestle. And it might go on farther than that. Usually the section that I do is from the Franklin Bridge to that train trestle area. It's kind of like another big kind of flat, wide open park. And there's a few trails in there. It's got a really different feel from the Winchell Trail part of the gorge. It's a little more open. But it's a great, I don't know, I just really, really like that section. So I spent a lot of time down in there. And then, up on the mainland here,
on the bluffs,
I also just really like walking the paved trail, like through downtown, along the Mill Ruins area by Waterworks Park. Again, lots of bridges to cross, lots of easy loops to do, but there's something really special about our downtown Minneapolis, in particular, being on the river. And it's just a neat way to sort of see the city, and there's always lots of people around, and there's just a cool kind of city river vibe in that area.
Well, yeah, in some of the most iconic destinations, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Stone Arch Bridge, which now, unfortunately, is going to be partially closed for a couple of years, which is a bummer. But you can still get out halfway onto the bridge and kind of take that epic shot of the downtown skyline.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Waterworks Park, which is a new park, which is amazing.
Yeah.
There's the Guthrie. I mean, there's Mill Ruins Park. All of those. So like those destinations where like when people come from out of town, like those are the places they go. Those are all along West River Parkway.
Right.
And then if you go across the river to on the east side, there's Father Hennepin Bluff Park, which is like one of my personal favorites, which they just redid the trails over there. There is
Nicolet Island is right there. You can explore that.
Mm-hmm. St. Anthony Falls, Boom Island. So it's like, yeah, there it really is like some of the coolest places to visit, in Minneapolis. Same thing with St. Paul, too.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Paul Riverfront is great, too.
It is. But,
you've got Harriet Island, and you've got... From downtown, you've got great views. They're like overlooks of the river.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. It's kind of in between its like industrial past and its current state. It's a very interesting place, the St. Paul River.
Yeah, I feel like the St. Paul Riverfront, you do get that sort of collision of past and present stuff, because there's a lot of the kind of old feeling of St. Paul, has a lot of the older stuff. And then it's just got the city has a different kind of feel than Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But then, there's the newer stuff and the lot, there's barge traffic and all that kind of stuff. So the river down there just has a different character, and the riverfront too. But there's lots of great trails I think on both sides of the river through downtown St. Paul and way downriver from there. So
yep.
Good places to walk and bike and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lilydale is like another one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. That one's great.
And that connects to my other favorite trail, which is the Minnesota River Bottoms Trail, which is another fun, very wild place that's basically different every time I go down there. And it's always an open question of like, can I actually get my bike through here?
Right.
But that's another river for another day.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. That's a great place.
What's next on our list? We talked a little about hiking.
Yeah, biking. I think we wanted to talk a little bit about paddling and some of the different places and ways that you can paddle on the Mississippi River. So kayaking is the main, kayaking and canoeing and paddleboarding, I suppose, are all great options, kind of quiet, meditative sports. I know, or I could say, you know, since the locks at St. Anthony Falls Dam closed several years ago now, this upper section of river has gotten very quiet. And so there's not a ton of boat traffic, which makes it a really great place, especially if you're not really familiar with paddling a boat on the river. It's a good place to check it out because it's as far as, you know, other boat and barge traffic, you don't have to deal with that. So the Paddle Share program, which is what it sounds like, a sharing program of kayaks, there are stations, pickup and drop off stations available along the stretch of river, basically from the Coon Rapids Dam, which is now Gateway Regional Park, down to the Minneapolis Rowing Club. So you have to go on paddleshare.org to actually see where those stations are and kind of how the logistics work. But it's neat. There's kind of three main long stretches of river in Paddle Share, and one goes from Coon Rapids Dam to North Mississippi Regional Park. One goes from North Mississippi Regional Park to Boom Island. And then the other one goes from the Bohemian Flats Park, which is in the gorge, down to the Minneapolis Rowing Club at the Lake Street Bridge. So each of those sections of river has a really unique and different character from each other. And so I super highly recommend. It's such a cool way to experience the river. And as a person who's spent a huge amount of my life living in the Twin Cities and right along the river, I had never really experienced the river the way that it feels in a kayak until just a few years ago. Like, I've spent a lot of time near it, but I hadn't been in a boat on the river until just a few years ago. And it's just a different way to see it. And that northern section, or the upriver section from Coon Rapids Dam, has kind of a, like, I don't know, northern lake country feel. Like, it's pretty residential. It's more sort of, I don't know, forested isn't quite the right word, but leafy and quiet in that section from Coon Rapids Dam down to North Mississippi Regional Park. So that's got kind of its own feel. And there's islands and things that you paddle around. And then once you get to this section between North Mississippi Regional Park and Boom Island, that's like the city. And you're looking at downtown Minneapolis and the skyline pretty much the whole time, paddling by Upper Harbor Terminal and the Minneapolis Water Treatment Plant and MWMO.
The Huron Rookery.
Yeah, and the Huron Rookery.
I mean, it's the city, but, you know, there's also some good nature to be had in the middle of the city, too.
Yeah.
And, Paddle Share is great. If you go to paddleshare.org, they've got a couple of, like, route options.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for the first time a few years ago, I think the year that they launched or the year after, and I was amazed by how easy it is. And I think that some people are intimidated maybe by the thought of paddling on the river.
Yeah.
Like, I went whitewater rafting in Colorado one time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is maybe the image that some people have.
Sure.
Like, worried about going over St. Anthony Falls or something, which you can't do. But I guess maybe you could.
You could, but
you shouldn't
be in a position to have that happen, right?
No, Paddle Share is great. And it's because you're going downriver, the current does a lot of the work. And so it's not, unless you have a day when you have like a really intense, you know, headwind from the south or something, it's a very relaxing experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's you know, you have to be careful, obviously, but it's not as intimidating as.
Right. And I think if people really want to try it and they're worried about the river, because, you know, you have to respect the fact that the river has currents and you do need to be paying attention. So Paddle Share actually has a station on Pickerel Lake, which is in St. Paul. And that is a really small lake. And the intention of that station is to provide a place for people who to just like learn how to get in and out of the kayak and paddle around and that sort of thing. You can definitely do that on the river as well. But just for our own sort of comfort level, I think that's a good option for people. But yeah, the whole system is really easy to use and the put in and takeout stations are easy to see. So yeah, I highly recommend the experience. And I haven't done the gorge section yet. So they just have added this gorge section in the last couple of years that goes from Bohemian Flats to the rowing club. And I'm sure that that's great. Maybe I'll get out there this summer.
Well, and do you know if Share the River Gorge is happening again?
It is.
It's also a great like introduction. Like if you don't want to go in a kayak by yourself and you'd rather go with a group and see what it's like. I've done that before and that's great. So you go on the Wilderness Inquiry canoes with a group of people. Mm-hmm. There's a guide kind of instructing you and it's a very non-intimidating way to you know, see what it's like to paddle on the river.
Yeah. I think they're just calling that the River Gorge Festival now. And it's September, I want to say it's like the second Sunday in September this year. So not Labor Day weekend, but the following. So that's at that same kind of area as the stairs down to the Longfellow Beach. So like 35th Street or so where it hits the river, the Longfellow Neighborhood Community Council puts on that event. We'll probably be there. But yeah, great opportunity to get in a big canoe with a bunch of people and see what it feels like to paddle on the river. And I know there's also like paddleboarding on the river has kind of picked up in the last few years. I've seen some paddleboarders go by here. I've helped out with the Mississippi River race. I can't think of exactly what they call it, but it goes from the headwaters down to Coon Rapids Dam. And there are paddleboarders who paddle that whole section. So I think that that might pick up still more because paddleboards are easy, especially if you're by yourself. Easy to move around. And
well, I'll never forget this last, I think it was the day before Christmas this winter. You know, we had this non-winter. It was just warm and there was no snow. And so it was like literally the day before Christmas Eve, I think. And there was a guy that pulled up in our parking lot, started unloading a paddleboard. So I took my camera and went out and I talked to the guy. He let me take a photo, but he just got on his paddleboard. He says he does it pretty regularly, actually, from our backyard here, which we have a nice kind of winding path down to the river. And so I think he said he takes out at Boom Island he must not go very far.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just funny because it was like Christmas and you had a wetsuit. I mean, definitely be, safe and conscious of the conditions and stuff. But I was just like, that's actually a great idea. Like, why couldn't you paddleboard? Because it's, especially, it depends. I mean, some days it can get a little windy out there. It's like on a lake. Like there are days where it's going to be more difficult and days when it's going to be just smooth sailing. But yeah, I would like to paddleboard on the river. I think that'd be fun.
I know one of our coworkers actually puts her paddleboard in here and sometimes before work and paddles up around the Heron Rookery and back. Yeah.
I'll have to ask you who that is after the podcast.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Anyway, it's a great, that's kind of a cool, like if you just want to be out on the water for a little bit. And yes, we do here at the MWMO have a beach. And so access for boats, both like canoes, kayaks and paddle boards. We don't have a dock. But anyway, so this is a great place. If you have your own paddleboard or kayak or whatever, you can park in our parking lot and carry down to the beach and put in here. But anyway, maybe I'll have to bring my paddleboard sometime this year and do the Heron Rookery paddle in the morning.
Yeah. Well, we should do that together sometime.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago, Longfellow Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I think people don't know, is there are like beaches along the river.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking another thing I wanted to kind of talk about was like just favorite kind of relaxing spots.
Yeah.
Call it nature immersion. Just like places to go. So like, for example, Hidden Falls Regional Park, which is on the St. Paul side of the river. There's some really cool stuff there. There's a waterfall, obviously. There's a bunch of these little waterfalls on the St. Paul side of the river.
Yeah.
But they've also got kind of a nice, kind of a beach area. And so for a while, that was my wife and I, that was our favorite spot to, take our hammocks. So we'd ride our bikes down into Hidden Falls and then we'd like put our hammocks between a couple of trees and just, like hang out. And it was just like, again, it's like the whole forest bathing thing. Like, it's a great way to just sort of de-stress.
Sure.
And then, so there's, in the River Gorge, there's Longfellow Beach, and then there's another one called White Sands Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great beaches for just relaxing.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a good time to address a question that we get a lot, which is it safe to swim in the river?
Right.
And it's, the answer is, it's tricky. So the main thing to be conscious of in the river is that it's moving, it's flowing.
Right.
And so you have to watch out for the current.
Yeah.
So like right now, the river's pretty high because we've been getting a lot of rain. So when the river's high, it's typically moving faster and you don't know what's underneath it. So there could be rocks or different things that you could either get caught on, or there's a lot that can happen. So, I mean, there's no law against swimming in the river, but you just have to be very, very careful. And then the other thing you have to watch out for in terms of risks to human health is bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So we always tell people, 72 hours after a rainstorm, in that period, don't go into the river, because what happens is the runoff from the land carries all the bacteria from animal waste, from wildlife and farms, and even, you know, from pets into the river. And so there's usually kind of a surge of bacteria after a rainstorm. And so if you were to ingest some of that, you might get a little sick.
Yeah. I think one of the things about swimming kind of goes back to the recurrent theme of this discussion, which is that the river is a dynamic system. So even like a place, like if you have gone swimming before and the place that you went swimming before seemed really calm and easy, another time that you return there, it might not be the same. And so just, you know, you got to have respect for the river.
Yes.
So
respect for Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that said, so what are some of your other favorite like chill spots?
I mean, I love the Longfellow Beach, which we talked about, and just the, so we've talked about the same spot, the bottom of the staircase. So the staircase that's between 33rd and 34th Street on West River Parkway in South Minneapolis.
That's just a spectacular view. Like when you're at the top of the stairs looking down into the gorge with these massive trees, like it really is just spectacular anytime you.
Yeah. So I love like going down that staircase. It's a long staircase. Good workout to climb back up to the top. Getting down to the bottom of the staircase, there's just this kind of like vastness down at the bottom. It's the floodplain. And I don't know. I just really, really love that spot. And then you can kind of choose where you want to go from there. You can walk along the Wintle Trail or you can head straight out to the beach there. And so, again, that beach is cool. I go there all the time, but when my kids were little, we spent a lot of time there just like drawing in the sand with sticks, throwing sticks into the water, watching them float down, looking at ducks and geese and birds and whatever, finding lots of things down there. It's just a really neat spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gets ice on the edges in the winter. And so it's fun to go look at that. And other people enjoy it too. And I would also say one of the things that I really love and notice a lot in the Twin Cities area is people are connected to these places. And so I see lots of people down there. Some people leave trash, and then there are also lots of people who will take it upon themselves to go down and clean up down there periodically, which is great because it not only keeps the river and the ecosystem healthy, but also makes it more enjoyable for other people to be down there. So anyway, appreciate all the people who are committed to these places.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Longfellow Beach and kind of that area is a favorite spot for me. Crosby in St. Paul is a really favorite spot. And there's lots of cool stuff in Crosby. Lots of trails, both paved and not. Beach, lakes, waterfalls, you know, like lots of cool stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Crosby's another one of my favorites. I'm also a big fan of just like biking to Harriet Island and hanging out there because you've got the cool view of the St. Paul skyline, and there's the Covington Inn, that old houseboat and stuff. And then you've got the Lilydale Regional Trail right next to that. And so there's lots of cool places to explore in that area. And then you can go up the High Bridge too, and you've got like more great views.
Yeah.
My wife and I used to live on the west side of St. Paul, and for 4th of July, we'd go watch the fireworks from the High Bridge,
which
was always like pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I bet.
there are just so many like great like overlooks and like places to like just take a deep breath and just enjoy scenery along the river.
For sure. Yeah. I'd say North Mississippi Regional Park is also kind of that way. Another just like really cool place to, you can still see downtown from some parts of it. And it's just, it's a neat, really long park with a lot of, yeah, just kind of space along the river. And then up in, I think it's Riverfront Regional Park up in Fridley also has really like lovely trails and just really nice kind of that nature immersion, neat place to just walk around, have some quiet, observe birds, and I don't know, have quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we talk about dog parks?
Sure.
So I don't have a dog, never had a dog, and I've always heard from people that the Minnehaha dog park is like the dog park that everybody loves to go to.
Yeah.
And I live very near it, and last fall, I just kind of randomly wandered in there because I like to go to Fort Snelling a lot. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, it's like a go-to place for like biking for me. And I like to hike around Pike Island and all that stuff. And I never noticed this before, but there are trails from the paved trail, the Minnehaha trail.
Yep.
And they're marked. There's these little trails that go off into the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my camera one day and it's kind of wandered in there. Like, what, I've never seen these, what are these little markers, these trail markers?
Yeah.
And I wandered in there, and then obviously, you know, as soon as like a dog ran up to me, it's like, oh, I'm in the dog park. But there are like, those trails are really cool.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful back there. And, you know, you don't, there's no law that says you need a dog. You can just go in there.
Right.
And there, in fact, I got to this one place that I had never seen this before. I don't want any geologists to get mad at me because I'm going to say this wrong, but there's this the like rock formation. This, I want to say they're like limestone rock formations or like bluffs that are along the river. You kind of have to go through the dog park and walk along the shoreline to get there. And if the water's really high, you maybe can't do it. But there's a little ephemeral waterfall there. It wasn't flowing at the time. But you can, it's like marked on Google Maps and stuff, but, it was just a really cool area that I had never been to. And it's one of those funny things, again, you know, you can go to these parks along the river over and over and over and constantly like discover like something new that you had never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about it.
So true.
And, but in terms of like dog parks, like people say that is.
Yeah. That one's really amazing. And yeah, it's so nice because a lot of dog parks, you know, the intention of them is to give dogs a place to run around off leash, which is great. But a lot of them are just kind of fenced in park areas. And so as the human, you don't have much to do, or you're just kind of like strolling around or standing there while your dog runs around. But at the Minnehaha Dog Park, you can just go for a hike and your dog can be off leash and it's great. And there's other dogs there and there's things to know. Like, obviously, you know your own dog. I've had a lot of dogs in my time, and with some dogs that has been a fantastic place, and with some dogs that hasn't, there's lots of other dogs there. So your dog needs to play well with others. And then I also had a dog who didn't do a super good job of sticking with me. So I did have the experience of getting one of my dogs lost, kind of, in the Minnehaha Dog Park. And that's when you really realize how big it is.
Yeah.
Is when you can't find your dog. And luckily we did find him. But it was probably, I don't know, a 30 or 45 minute experience of trying to find him. And luckily someone else recognized that he maybe was displaced from his people, and they grabbed him and got my phone number off of his tag and called me, and we came and fetched him, and it was all great. And that's another thing. You've got all these other dog lovers there too, who kind of can help out with stuff. So
yeah,
but it's a really, really cool and unique place. And I've lived all over the country with dogs, and I think it is a pretty unique kind of dog park to just have a big space like that, with trails, and it is as enjoyable for the humans as it is for the dog.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's fun to even just watch them, you know, jump into the river.
Totally.
Go completely crazy.
Yeah.
You can see it even just up from on the bluffs on the paved trail as you're going to Fort Snelling. You can just look back and you just see all these dogs just going nuts in the It's like that. It almost makes me want a dog.
Totally. Well, yeah. It's funny. I remember being on a boat that had come out of the marina, which is just downstream from that dog park a bit, with a group. a handful of years ago, and I had a real elderly dog at the time who was no longer able to run and play like that. And I was on that cruise, and we were by the dog park, and just seeing like the joy of all these dogs. And I was like, that's it. I got to get another dog. I need another dog who can run and play like this. I need to experience this joy. So
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is just fun to watch them. Mm-hmm. And then as I was doing the research before the podcast here, I didn't realize there are other dog parks along the river. There's one called Meeker Dog Park on the St. Paul side.
Yeah, it's, I don't really know if that's an official dog park.
Oh,
I think that one might be.
It's listed on St. Paul's website.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Well,
I'll delete this if that's not true.
Okay. I know there is a place that people let their dogs run free in the Meeker area.
Okay.
I don't know for sure that it's, I don't know. I've never brought my own dogs over there. I have seen other people and heard that, but I think it might be less confined than like the Minnehaha, which Minnehaha Dog Park is not completely fenced, which is important for people to know.
Yes.
But it is relatively, like a lot of it is. And so if you have dogs who you don't necessarily trust to stay close.
Yeah, that, you know, that's actually important. I would say that's a good tip for people is be cognizant of where the dog park ends, because I definitely see a lot of dogs running around off leash in like Coldwater Spring.
Yeah.
And there's a highway right up next to that.
Right.
I've definitely seen a dog run out onto the highway.
Oh, gosh.
And the other thing that I've seen in Coldwater Spring, one of the last times I was there, was a coyote running around.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
which is like, I don't know if you've had, if you have this experience when you see a coyote, but by the time my brain is done processing that mm-hmm. it's a dog, that it's a coyote,
yeah.
it's already like
yeah.
turned around and
yeah,
away.
Usually.
But I was thinking, you know, if somebody's little dog got lost running around Coldwater Spring,
mm-hmm.
there are coyotes there. So
yeah.
anyway, try to keep your dogs on a leash when you're outside the dog park.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Well, I think we're getting near the end, but maybe just before we go, like, what are some of your favorite, like, random spots? Or it could be like a favorite bridge mm-hmm. or favorite, I don't know, landmark, building, whatever. Like, what are some of your favorite
question.
Sights to see along the river?
Yeah. I actually really like the Lowry Bridge, which is, I don't know if you can see it in this shot, but right outside our window here. It's just, it's a cool looking bridge, and it is lit up.
Yep.
So at night it's different colors, and I don't know. I always like when I'm working at night, seeing what color the bridge is. It's just a really interesting bridge. And I love the gorge. I love anywhere down in the bottom of the gorge. That just feels really like home to me. Been lucky to live close to the gorge for a lot of my life. Other spots, I like the Pink Bridge, which is just a pedestrian bike bridge.
What is that?
It's got a more official name than the Pink Bridge. I just refer to it that way. It's connects Dinkytown and
okay. So I think the name of it is like
it's like the number
Rail Bridge number nine.
Yeah, yeah.
That was going to be one of mine. That is my. I didn't realize it was called the Pink
Bridge. I don't know that it is. That's what because it's pink.
Yeah.
Okay. So I refer to it in my head as the Pink Bridge. And when I think about like where to cross the river, I'll be like, ooh, I'll use the Pink Bridge. Yep,
same, because mm-hmm. that is a really cool bridge. It's got a really great view, actually looking both ways. And it's a bike and pedestrian only bridge. And so it connects West River Parkway to the Dinkytown Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also hop on East River Parkway from there. But yeah, that is like definitely like my favorite.
Yeah.
And that's one of my go-to routes when I just want to go for a quick bike ride. I'll go West River Parkway to the Pink Bridge, the railroad number nine bridge. And then go down East River Parkway along the river that way. So yeah, that's a great one. My other favorite place I was going to mention is actually the place where Minnehaha Creek meets the Mississippi River.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go to Minnehaha Falls, there's a hiking trail that goes all the way kind of along the creek out to the river. And so that takes you just south or just beneath Lock and Dam number one.
Yep.
And that is just a really, that's also just another really cool spot to just chill out. I see a lot of people fishing there.
Yeah.
It's a good fishing spot.
Yeah. Probably at the bottom of the dam.
Yeah. Right. And I like to, you know, like either go for a bike ride there in winter or in the summer, I might like take a run out there and just kind of sit there for a minute and just kind of look at the
Yeah.
The Lock and Dam. It's a cool spot.
I really love the, so right across from where you're talking about on the St. Paul side, you can, if you go to Hidden Falls Park and then you like hike up the upstream, basically as far as you can go, you're basically sitting right across from where the creek comes out. And there's mm-hmm. that island there in the bottom of the dam.
Yeah.
Also, and you can see the huge wall below the dam, and then the veterans home and stuff is yep. on top of it. I just, yeah, really like that spot too.
Yeah.
It's a good place to hang out.
For sure. And then I guess the last place I would put in a plug for, because I feel like it's underrated in some ways, is Fort Snelling State Park.
Mm-hmm.
So Fort Snelling is at a location where the Mississippi River meets the Minnesota River. And so Pike Island, is where there's a hiking trail around Pike Island, and that's sort of the kind of the point where they meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cool park, and it's got some nice features. I think people maybe don't realize a couple things about it. Like, it is one of, I think, four state parks in the entire state that have designated winter fat biking trails.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. So they're groomed trails.
Yeah.
They're multi-use. So it's fat biking and also like hiking and skiing, but they're great. And, you know, in a normal winter when we have snow,
mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite places to go. Also really good wildlife spotting down there.
Yeah.
It's like usually multiple herds of deer I see when mm-hmm. I'm there. They're pretty, I think they've figured out that the humans there aren't going to like harm them.
Right.
And so they're pretty chill. Like you can just walk right by them or ride your bike by them.
Yeah.
Also a lot of raptors, a lot of hawks and eagles. And I know where there's a big eagle's nest down there. And so, it's just a fun place to go. Almost every time I'm down there, I see some wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in spite of being underneath the flight path of the airport,
mm-hmm.
It's actually a very kind of relaxing, tranquil place.
Yeah. I saw a ton of people fishing in the river right there. I don't know how many weekends ago I was there. Probably in the last month. I was there on a weekend, and it was just like a sunny, still kind of cold, wintry day, but there were tons of people fishing like right by the confluence. So something must have been going on. I think it was probably a fishing opener of some sort, but the amount of people who were there
yeah.
makes me think that the fishing was pretty good right there too.
Yeah, it must be. I don't have anything else, do you?
I don't think so. Just that the river is awesome and there's so much stuff to do. And yeah, get out and explore.
All right. Well, thank you for watching and listening to River of Ideas. Hope you enjoy this podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review or drop a comment if you're on our YouTube channel. And we'll see you in the next episode.